Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Words of the Preacher by Faith Gold. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament is the book of Ecclesiastes, or also called the Preacher. The book discusses and illustrates how corrupted our world has become and how enamored and obsessed people are with material possessions, materialism, things that just don't matter at all, nor bring any love or true meaning to our lives. The word Ecclesiastes has been used to refer to a preacher, a speaker, or one who addresses an assembly of people. It's said that King Solomon was the writer of this book, but who really knows? The Hebrew name for this book is Koheleth or Kahaleth, which comes from the Hebrew word kahal, meaning to call or assemble or gather together. Now, my understanding of this vanity of vanities phrase and the main theme within Ecclesiastes is that most people have become totally lost, chasing this false, self-created illusion of reality that isn't real. They've lost their true connection and understanding of their purpose and have clung on to this fantasy reality that was sold to them by elite corruptors and deceivers of the world, right? People now only seem to care about material wealth and items and money, all things that don't depart with us when we're no longer here. The phrase vanity of vanities could also be interpreted as to say meaningless. All is meaningless. Ultimately, it seems this phrase is conveying the message that vanity equals some kind of separation from creator or source, being separated from the true divine and being lost in an illusion of meaningless existence. Also, the author goes on in lament, saying that there's no longer a love of wisdom nor a search for wisdom. Now let's define vanity. So the origin of the word vanity in the book of Ecclesiastes, because the book begins, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The original word used for vanity was the Hebrew word habal or habel, which means vapor or breath, and is also used to describe something that will soon vanish. See the photos below. Now, the modern day definition of vanity, I guess in our English language world, is defined as inflated pride in oneself or in one's appearance. And that's from Merriam-Webster. Or it's used to describe something that's done with the aim of getting praise, fame, or approval, rather than for serious or good reasons. So, for example, let's think about Hollywood celebrities who desperately fight to gain attention using their appearance, dressing provocatively, using their status or money to gain praise or fame or likability. Or when politicians or elites arrogantly state that they've done A, B, and C, I've done this, this, and that, fill in the blank. When in reality, those people who boast about this stuff or what they've done to quote unquote help the world, they're only saying this to gain praise, to gain attention, to gain fame and likability. Most of these people don't speak or act with integrity or ethics, nor do they care to. Rarely do we ever see this done authentically or genuinely for good reasons. Rather, it's usually done to promote a false image of themselves while enhancing their own self-image and self-pride. The phrase, nothing new under the sun, actually comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Lacking inner love. People who lack inner love for themselves and who do not value who they are seek outside validation and at times may take extreme measures to find ways to fill their inner lack of self-love and self-worth. Does that make sense? These people don't care about anyone because they barely care about themselves. They don't know how to love anyone. They don't love themselves. A person who truly loves and values themselves doesn't seek outside praise or attention. It's unnecessary and beneficial to no one. A person who loves themselves will look internally for the love or praise they seek, rather than seeking it externally and basing it off of materialism, things which are void, substanceless, and ultimately don't matter at the end of the day. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Damn, that's true. Damn, that's true. So moving forward and trying to understand what this phrase of vanity of vanity and all is vanity and vexation of spirit, this term vanity relates to this phrase vexation of spirit in the sense of, listen to this quote, "I have seen the works done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." So when I looked into the meaning of this phrase, vexation of spirit, it defines it to mean feeding on wind. Additionally, the term vexation can be used when describing grief or anger. But now the term wind in Hebrew is the word ruach, which means spirit. So wind and spirit may mean the same thing here. And I find it interesting that this vexation of spirit, this vanity of vanity, could very well literally mean that all is meaningless feeding on spirit. If the word vanity was originally the Hebrew word habal, meaning breath or vapor, we could further hypothesize that the term vanity, breath, and vapor are also synonymous to the word wind as it's used within this context and are interchangeable, right? Let me clarify. So notice the phrase that vexation of spirit is defined, at least in my Bible, as feeding on wind or delighting on wind. And like I just said, interestingly enough, the word wind in Hebrew is the word ruach, meaning spirit or breath. So it seems that these terms wind, breath, spirit, vapor are all referencing the same idea of spirit or ruach. See this picture below. So I know I might be going around in circles to understand this, but so using the Hebrew understanding of the term vanity and vexation of spirit, could we translate this verse to read, all is vapor, illusion, breath, air, being fed on, or perhaps all is illusion feeding on spirit? However, side note, the Hebrew word for soul is nefesh. This is a different word than spirit and ruach. So notice that in the Hebrew religion or language, they define the spirit and soul as separate and distinct concepts. The spirit being the ruach and the soul being nefesh. Now in other places or other books in scripture, I went looking to see where else these terms were used, where else I could find vanity in scripture. And I found it in the book of Job and in Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, it's used in the context of something that's void or empty. And in the book of Job, it's used in the context of something that's lacking substance. Something that is vanity or vain is lacking of substance. The wise man dies a fool. One of my favorite verses from this book. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happened to them all. Then said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. And that verse just really hits deep with me because essentially it's saying that, you know, as we go through these cycles of time where we are at our golden age or at our dark age, we forget things, we remember things. The wise man is no different from the fool. The wise man is just as foolish as the fool, and the fool could be just as wise as the wise man. But at the end of the day, when there's no remembrance of the wise or the fool, how does the wise man die? As the fool. It even goes deeper to say, wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. That's in chapter 4, verse 2. And this last picture I thought was really interesting. I found it online. It says, all is vanity, and it's a woman depicted sitting at a vanity, where I guess she would be looking at a mirror or doing her makeup or whatever she may be doing. And it's a massive skull that kind of looks like it's vaporized or breath or some kind of illusionary depiction. And I just thought that was interesting. It says, all is vanity. To close out, I'm going to read my absolute favorite verse from this book that got me hooked onto it, that I felt in my soul when I read this. And it comes right after the line of, "And how does the wise man die as the fool?" And it says, "Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit."